Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Good morning. Well, I trust that you have survived the holiday. I'm sure everybody had an outstanding time. Christmas is such a wonderful time of year, and I enjoy, as I said the last time we were together, I love every part of it. And our year has been outstanding, and we've had a good Christmas season, a good time of enjoying the things that we do enjoy. As I told you the last time, I want to remain consistent with my pledge to Christ. I just want to take 15 seconds and remind you that Christ is coming. He is coming. We don't know when. The time is short, but He is coming. And in fact, next Sunday, we're going to talk a little bit about the second Advent. But anyway, I just want to remain consistent and keep it in front of us that this is not it. This is only the beginning. We're just passing through. So we've made it. We've managed to go over the river and over the river and through the woods. We've shopped until we've dropped. We have drank the eggnog. We've enjoyed the cookies. We've driven around. I'm sure you have as well, and looked at all the lights and everything imaginable decorated, including the neighbor's dog. The presents have all been opened. Some have already been returned, and we've enjoyed the music. We've enjoyed church. We've enjoyed familiar Christmas carols. We've enjoyed old standards, some new ones maybe. The Christmas sermons are finished. Christmas 2020 is over. To always be remembered as the pandemic Christmas. It has come and has gone. So, well, what do we do now? Now what? It's over. I always find the day or two after Christmas an interesting time. Just kind of a lull. It's just kind of, yeah. It's just kind of, we've done it. So now what? What are we going to do now? The question comes from in an interesting place in the Word of God. And as I thought about today and some other things that I'm preparing for in speaking, I've been thinking about how do we communicate the expectation that God may have for us as collective, as Christians. Not particularly individually, although this is part of this sermon is individually, but collectively as a whole. There are several places that you may have found yourself in your devotions in these past weeks. I have found myself in some particular places that I found incredibly intriguing, and the Lord has ministered to my heart in this month of December in such a wonderful way. And really what I'm communicating to you today is really what's come out of my devotion life in the last some weeks. So let's look at the Word of God. We're going to read some different passages throughout the morning. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, here are some words. "Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast of hosts, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go." Two very important words in this passage. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Are you seeing it yet? Are you catching what that passage might be communicating to us collectively? It's the answer to that question, now what? I just gave it to you. It's worship. It's just worship. If there's anything that we can do during these days following the birth of the Christ child, it's what the shepherds have shown us. It is what the wise men show us. It is to worship Him. It's to worship Him. They didn't have anything to bring the Christ child. They are in the fields. We're talking about the shepherds now. They're working, tending sheep, which wasn't necessarily the job to have. But according to Scripture, they make their way to see what this star is illuminating. and then they worship. That's an incredible proclamation. We don't know if the shepherds knew how to worship. We don't know if they've ever worshiped before. We don't know their spiritual state. We don't know very much about them other than they're in the fields tending sheep. They see the star and they go, and the Bible says they worshiped. The angels fill the night sky with light and the air with music, and they worship. Well, another passage that when I begin to think about those words and those ideals, and in fact, this part of the message I wrote two or three weeks ago, one morning for my devotions, and I read another passage that I think applies to you and I. It's familiar to you. You've heard it read. I've preached from it many times, but it's in Revelation chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. Isn't that an interesting thought and thing to see in your mind? Day after day, night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was, who always was, who is, and is still to come." Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, and they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory, honor, and power." So another ideal, as John on the Isle of Patmos, John the Revelator, gives us a picture of heaven, and these seraphims, or whatever they may be, gathered around the throne, the elders around the feet of the throne, and they worship. Now you may say, what if I don't worship? What if I don't worship? I've struggled with that question different times in my ministry, and I've kind of read through that and listened to that and went through that and thought about it and studied it, and I thought about it in a couple different ways. I've watched people in my ministry, and I've seen people that are very demonstrative in worship. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I've seen people that are very quiet in worship, but I've seen also some that just flat aren't going to worship. I'm not going to do it. I'm not raising my hands. I'm not clapping my hands. I'm not going to do anything that shows that I'm worshiping. Now, I'm smart enough to know that not everybody worships the same way. And I get that. I really do. If you don't worship that way, that's fine. We don't all find ourselves in that sense that we have to do things that can be seen on the outside. But the question is, it's not really the question, what if I don't worship? The fact is, you will worship. If the Lord Jesus is to you who he should be and who he wants to be and who we need him to be, we will worship. It's almost like saying, will I love my children? Will I love my grandchildren? You know, when my grandson was born, my oldest grandson, I wasn't sure how that was all going to work. We knew he was going to be a boy, and I had raised two girls, and I wasn't real sure how this was all going to happen. But, you know, when the first time that he came into this world, as soon as he came into the world and I laid eyes on him, as the same with the rest of my grandchildren and my children, there was something happened. It wasn't, was I going to love them? I did love them. And that has grown day by day by day. So the fact of Christ coming into my being, and he has saved my life, he has come into me, I possess him. It's not that, will I worship? I worship. I worship because I can't help but worship. I can't help but give myself away to him. It's just, where will you direct your worship? It may be different things. You may not worship Christ, but you may worship your intellect. You may worship your education. You may worship your body. Anytime we trust an object or activity to give us life and meaning, we worship it. So that's something for us to think about as we consider the new year, as we consider moving forward through the holiday. Worship is simply to add worth to something or to someone. We as Christians understand this process. We realize that we need to be in front of the throne of the living King, of our loving King, and worship works wonders. It changes our perspective. It changes who we are. It changes life circumstance. It moves us beyond the pandemic into the realm of the glory of God. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves encamped and enjoying the presence of a king who loves you and cares for us. Why? Worship rescues us from the foils of this life, and worship does for the soul what rain does for crops and what the summer sun does for the garden. It's so it is with worship. Now, there are three different things that I think that we can learn here. First is this. We must worship verbally. We must worship verbally. The Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name." Now, there's a lot of different passages. We could read passages from now until noon. But the truth is, I don't think anybody would question that ideal. We worship, and we do it verbally. The first way we come to this Christ child is with our person. The shepherds gave us that, didn't they? They didn't just stand in the fields and sing songs to the star. No, they said, "We must go. Let's go. Let's go." In our living room, in the mall, in our car, it doesn't really matter. It's that we do it with our mouths and with our spirits. We speak or we sing the praises of God, the one who saves us and loves us and leads us. John Wesley wrote, "Sing lustfully with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than we when you sung the songs of Satan." You know, that's an interesting analogy, isn't it? But if you think back to life, and I've thought about this different times, and I've been fortunate in my life to see people saved from so many different venues of life and so many different arenas of life and coming from deep sin and coming into the presence of Christ. And I've watched some of those people who lived life so incredibly wickedly, and they were absolutely some of the most dynamic Christians that I knew. I can think of a few just going through my mind right now. Their names I won't mention, but that had came to churches that I've pastored that just were just not good folks when it came outside the church. But they came and gave their life to Christ. And when they worshiped, you knew that they were in love with the one that they were worshiping. Now, again, let me qualify. I'm not saying that if you're not demonstrative, again, in a minute, we'll talk about it. If you're not demonstrative in your worship, it doesn't mean you're not worshiping. I know that. People are quiet. People have different ways. But we know we must worship. Worship is not in your spirit. Worship is not in your spirit, particularly. We must worship verbally. Max Lucado writes, "Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God, and he'll be there in no time. Worship. Do you want your home loose from the devil? Worship. Do you want nations to place peace before prosperity? Worship. Then let the church assault Satan's strongholds with joy-filled praise." I was pastoring a church some time ago, and we got into a time of lull. And things weren't moving the way that we wished that they would and the way that I was certainly pushing that they would move. And so we came together and we spent 30 days of prayer and fasting. And after that 30 days, we came back and came up with one ideal that we needed to do. We needed to change our focus. Not our focus, not the dynamic of the church, not anything to do other than the way we approached God. We wanted to change that. And so we did. We did through prayer, and we did it through worship. And we began to worship in a different way, and more ways, and some different ideals, and some different context of worship. I won't go into them. And they were all fine. They were all things that you'd be completely comfortable with, but they were a different focus. And then all of a sudden, on a Sunday morning, I begin to see people coming through the back door. And people all of a sudden begin to respond. And in that year's time, I was in Ohio at the time, and in that year's time, we kind of kept track, and over 50 people came into the saving knowledge of Christ. They didn't come from other churches. They didn't come from across town. They came because they sensed something. God began to say, try this. Go here. Drive by here. Pull in there. Go. See what's happening. And they come in and respond. I believe it was totally because of the way we worship. Secondly, we must worship in community. We must worship in community. Luke chapter 2, verse 3 says, and suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and earth, yes, that too, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts. Now, that may not be the context that we would want to use typically for trying to encourage you to worship in a community setting. But I think it's a setting that says, with the angels, biblically, that we're familiar with because of this time, that says there's something to be said about coming together. One of the great questions of the ages has always been, do I have to go to church to be a Christian? I have had that question more times than I could count. Now, I come from a very fundamental background, a very Wesleyan Armenian theology. Still that way. I'm still very Wesleyan in my theology. And there was a day, because of my persuasion, I would have said, absolutely yes, you have to come to church to be a Christian. I can't say that now. If we did that, if that was true, we'd all be lost, wouldn't we? We'd all be in trouble. We'd be head for hell. Because the pandemic came, that changed, didn't it? And I've laughed about that a little bit because I say that tongue in cheek. I wouldn't have shed any blood for that, and trust me. But I kind of felt like, yeah, we ought to be together. But then this came, and all of a sudden we learned something, didn't we? We learned that we can worship at home. We can be in home. We can sit in our pajamas and drink a cup of coffee and watch worship. Now, I don't know about you. When I watch our church online, and our worship leader says, everybody stand, even you at home, I don't do that. I set my recliner, and I enjoy it. The fact is that we've proven that, well, no, and I've said, nah, you really don't need to. You don't have to go to church Sunday by Sunday, I don't guess, to be a Christian. Again, I don't think that's it. I'll get back to that in just a minute. That being said, if we fail to present ourselves in corporate worship, we do so at a great loss. We just do. We do at a great loss. Why? Because something happens when we're in corporate worship that does not happen any other time. No other time at all. When we hear and see each other worship, we are mutually edified. I prayed somewhere not too long ago, and I don't mean this wrong. Don't take this wrong. I'm certainly not bragging on my praying ability because it certainly lacks a lot. But I was praying somewhere in a group setting. It was a large setting. After it was all over and I made my way to the back wherever I was at, somebody came up to me and said, I have a question for you. He actually was a pastor. He said, let me have a question for you. Where did you learn to pray? I thought it was an odd question. Where did I learn to pray? And I had to think about it a minute. Well, I learned to pray by praying, number one. Number two, I learned to pray by kneeling at altars. I told you I had a Wesleyan background. At an altar, Sunday by Sunday, different times, kneeling between two men, Bob Deckard and Paul Blackwell. And I listened to those men pray. And I wasn't trying to mimic their prayer, but I learned how to pray by listening to them pray. I listened to the way they communicated with God, and it intrigued me as a youngster, as a little kid. Now, those two men, one of those men became my brother-in-law, and in fact, I did his funeral just several years ago. The other man was an incredible friend to me and my family. So I knew both these men personally. When I pastored full-time, I listened to three sermons every week by men who mentored me. Men that I thought was important to listen to. And so I learned technique. I learned cadence. I learned inflection. I learned some of those ideals from listening to other men preach. So it is worship. We learn to worship. We enjoy worship by coming together corporately. Not because you have to. You don't have to. That's not it. No, you want to. You want to come to church. I don't get up on Sunday morning and say, oh man, it's Sunday, I gotta go to church. No, there is something that draws me that says I need to want to be in the presence of Christ. I can do that at home, but I want to be in the presence of Christ with other Christians and see them and hear them and listen to them. I want to go to church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, so let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we are presentable inside and out, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worship together, as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. That passage comes out of the Message. My favorite hymn of all time. I love to sing it. I would sing it for you, but I used to do a lot of singing, so it wouldn't be maybe that bad, but I'm just going to read it to you. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Jesus, what a strength in weakness. Let me hide myself in thee. Tempted, tried, in him confiding. He, my strength, my victory wins. Jesus, help me in my sorrow while the billows o'er me roll. In my heart is breaking. He, my comfort, helps my soul. Jesus, what a guiding keeper. While the tempest still is high, storms about me, night o'ertakes me, he, my pilot, hears my cry. Jesus, do I now receive him? More than all, in him I find Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm his and he is mine. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end. To God be the glory. Worship. Oh, I remember the moments and times and days of worship in my churches when I would absolutely say, we must sing our great Savior. And the churches would raise their voices. And at times I would say, let just the men sing. And they would sing verses 3 or 4. And how that changed the spirit and the atmosphere of my own heart. We must worship. Say, I don't want to worship. I can't imagine not wanting to worship. Lastly, we must worship demonstrably. Psalms 4, 141, verse 2 says, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as evening sacrifice. Psalm 63, 3 and 4 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift my hands. I have stood beside my wife for 45 years. Now, my wife is not a quiet person. She'll probably watch this video with me on Sunday morning, so hopefully I won't be in too much trouble. But I've watched her now for 45 years. A lot of those years as her pastor, but a lot of those years just standing beside her. And I've watched her. And I've watched her worship. And Sharon has such a unique way of presenting herself to the throne of God. She very quietly sings the songs. She raises her voice. She closes her eyes. She raises her hand. And there's very few times that I have watched her worship, that I've watched her not worship through tears. I've watched that for a long time, and I've thought about the presence of God encamping her spirit and her soul. That's what this is about. I hope you sense that. I hope you have a hunger for that. I hope you can't wait. I know that right now, but we're not coming to church. I know that. But I hope when you come back, you'll just have a new sense, or even while you're in your room this morning or tomorrow morning when you're sitting in your chair doing your devotions alone with God, you'll just sense that the Lord Jesus is wrapping his arms around you, and you can just demonstratively worship him in your spirit. Sometimes people get carried away with worship. I know that. I've seen it. And I know that. And sometimes it's inappropriate. I know that. But we must not let that interfere with our appropriate use of this wonderful privilege that has been given to us. Let me illustrate a side thought. A few years ago, I told you, I think, at one point that my ministry, we have ministered to the homeless, the poor and the indigent, most of my ministry, and we still have throughout the Christmas season. Several years ago, I was downtown Indianapolis, and we'd come out of the restaurant. Actually, we'd gone to the spaghetti factory. I remember it very, very well. When we came out, there was a man sitting right outside the door. Now, I don't know how you handle homeless. I don't know. I understand they can be intimidating. I know people can be fearful. I know people can be judgmental. I understand all those things. But I handle it differently. I got down on one knee, and I looked at him, and I asked him his name. Novel thought. He told me his name. I don't remember. It's not important. And I asked him this question. When was the last time you ate? And he told me it had been the day or two before that. My brother-in-law was standing next to me. And I said, let me ask you a question. If I would give you some money, will you go get something to eat? There's a Steak and Shake right around the corner. Will you go there and get yourself a sandwich? Will you do that? He said, yes, I will. So I gave him some money. I don't remember how much it was now, probably 10 bucks, 5 bucks. I don't know what it was. I gave him some money. He got up and he walked away. My brother-in-law looked at me and he said, you know that he's going straight to the liquor store. And I said these words, I will not let the inappropriate use of my money keep me from doing the appropriate thing for a child of God as God instructs me to do and prompts me to do. The Lord prompted me to respond to that man. I don't respond to everyone. I don't. I do the ones that he prompts me to. And he prompts me more times than he doesn't. It's the same thing with worship. You can't say, I'm not going to worship because that one person acts that way. No, it has nothing to do with you. Worship. Worship him. Lift your hands. Clap your hands. Bend your knees. Bow your head. Fall on your face. Worship him. Something powerful happens when we worship. This week, in closing, or not this week, a few weeks ago, I was reading a story that I had read when I was in seminary. And I've used it different times in sermons. I'd forgotten about the story, but it's an important story. It's a true story. Max Lucado reminded me of it this week, or the last few weeks, and I just want to read it to you. It kind of leads us to where we're headed. Something powerful happened the day that what the soldiers did. It was Christmas Eve, 1915, near the village of Lavigne in northern France. World War I was raging. Bombs shook the soil of Europe. Frigid temperatures shook the bones of fighters. Germans were entrenched on one side and the Royal Welsh on the other. Most of the soldiers were only a few years past boyhood. They were young and homesick and longing to be with loved ones. The guns had blazed in relentless fury for months. Christmas seemed far away from this blood-soaked land. And at one point, from the German side of the field, came a chorus of voices singing a Welsh holiday hymn in German. Sleep, my child, and peace attend thee. All through the night, guardian angels God will send thee. All through the night, soft the drowsy hours are creeping, hill and vale and somber sleeping. I, my loving vigil keeping, all through the night. Soldiers on both sides set down their weapons for a moment. And in that moment, there was no war. There were no enemies. There was just a song. What happened next could only be described as a miracle. The night was spent in carol singing. Around dawn, the feeling of goodwill emboldened the soldiers to step out of their trenches and greet their foes. Shouting such a greeting as, hello Tommy and hello friends, they shook hands in no man's land and exchanged gifts. German beer, sausages, and spiked helmets from one side, canned corned beef, biscuits, and tunic buttons from the other. Then of all things, a game broke out, a form of soccer. It was disjointed and unorganized, with perhaps as many as 50 players on each side. And for half an hour or so, the battlefield became a soccer field, and enemies enjoyed time together. And it all began with worship. We can only pray that an armistice would happen again, that warriors would become worshipers, and that they would lay down their weapons of pride and vengeance and join hearts to thank the one who came to bring peace on earth and goodwill to all. Someday, that peace will come. Conflict will give way to an eternal chorus. Until then, we can practice. Give Jesus the gift of angels. Give him the gift of praise. Give Jesus the gift the angels gave him, the gift of praise. Don the robe of grace. Soar on wings of faith and take your place in the heavenly chorus and sing glory to God in the highest. Having difficulties, I understand. Worship. Don't know what you're going to do next year? Worship. Lost your job? Worship. Marriage in trouble? Worship. Someone you're estranged from? Worship. A neighbor you've had conflict with? Worship. Things going outstanding? Worship. Had a great year? Worship. Enjoying life? Worship. No matter who you are, where you are, worship. Worship verbally. Worship demonstratively. Worship because Christ calls us to do so in community. Lord Jesus, thank you today for the power and the goodness and the grace of God. What a wonderful and loving Lord you are. We honor you on this day, and we thank you for truth. Help us to worship. Worship you. You're not a babe in Bethlehem anymore. You're the Savior of our souls. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation today. Be with us as we move forward, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. And we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.